The Marching Roundtable is proud to be an official media partner of Drum Corps International and Music for All.
Greetings from DCI. This is Drum Corps International staff wishing Marching Roundtable and Tim Hinton the very, very best on your 1,000th episode. We're so grateful for everything that you have done for marching arts all around the world. Keep up the great work. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
For me, what really hit me hard was the talk where Pat kind of reminded us how much of an impact we have on other people's lives. I think Blue Devils is really special because we get this kind of platform to reach people much larger than ourselves. And even though they don't know who exactly I am or who Shelby is or who Jared is personally, but like we represent this organization that reaches so many people past us. And so like we inspire high school band kids to continue marching or to pursue their passions and dreams. And that's super cool. And Pat just told us, like, kind of reminded us of the power that we have being who we are at the Blue Devils. And I think it's super important to take that with us back home as well. And even though we are back in our individual selves and not necessarily as the Blue Devils Corps traveling everywhere together, but we have the power to change people's lives. And I think that kind of like resonated with the moment where I was trying to figure out, like, why am I here and what do I want to do? And I think it's always been this way, but Pat kind of reminded me that, like, we are here or we have our moments and we have the ability to change people's lives for the better. And that's what we should be striving to do every day since we have the power to. I just thought that was really cool, really resonated with me.
On this podcast, Blue Devils drum major Jared Gear talks with five members of the 2022 Corps, discussing their favorite moments of the season, what it meant to them to be a Blue Devil this year, and what lessons they take with them as the season ends. There's a video version of this podcast that everyone can watch on the Marching Roundtable YouTube channel. Thanks to Jared Gear for recording and editing this podcast conversation and video. This podcast is sponsored by LCL Mentors, found at lclmentors.com. Part 4 of our DCI 2022 wrap-up, Behind the Blue, on the Marching Roundtable.
Sponsored by LCL Mentors, from leaders creating leaders. Found at lclmentors.com.
LCL Mentors, friendly, helpful advice when you need it.
When you talk about mentorship, I think one of the most difficult things is that most of us don't think that we need a mentor, when in reality we do. We don't really know what we don't know. And as a result, having someone that has some experience, that has gone through all of the things that you're about to go through as a music educator, is a valuable tool.
You know, who do you learn from once you're out at teaching? You know, who is going to help you to avoid the pitfalls and to be your cheerleader on those rough days? So, you know, a mentor can really be the person who assists you in merging the pedagogy and knowledge from college with real-world teaching challenges.
And if you're already being well supported out there, if you have somebody to call when you need help, that is wonderful. I'm so glad you have that. But if you don't, if you find yourself alone, you don't know who to call when you need something, you don't have a support system like that, we have experts with years of experience who are ready to help you with exactly the thing you're wondering about. We've been there. We know.
LCL Mentors, friendly, helpful advice when you need it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jared Gear, a high school band instructor for Hillgrove High School here in Powder Springs, Georgia, as well as a former Blue Devils drum major for the 2022 season, Tempest Blue. On behalf of the Marching Roundtable, I'm amongst nothing but friends as we recap the Drum Corps International World Championships and where you see a whole bunch of familiar Blue Devils here with you.
Hi, guys. My name is Daniel DeBose, and I was part of the line this year and had a great time.
My name is Alvina Zhang. I was a part of the Mellophone line this year.
I'm Hayden Fausder, and I was a part of the quad line.
I'm Shelby Stratton, and I was in the color guard this summer.
Daniel Novoa, and I was in the euphonium section.
And I was team hands. I did not work as hard as the rest of these individuals did, but we are so glad to have them here. So we're going to start off with just some basic generic questions. Or anybody has free reign to kind of chime in and stuff. But basically, like, how is everyone? what has it been like now that we are back home into normal lives? And, you know, what is everybody feeling and what does their normal new schedule look like?
I'll go first. So I flew out of Cincinnati on Sunday. My parents picked me up and I flew to Las Vegas and did a few days in Las Vegas, just like a little mini summer vacay. And I flew home on Tuesday and literally got off the plane, dropped my luggage off at home, and went straight to College Bandcamp that night. So my real life started the second I got home. So I did 3 days of College Band, had this little weekend. I went and bought all of my school supplies because I start school tomorrow. And yeah, real life has just started right back up. I start teaching color guard again tomorrow. So just, you know, getting back into the swing of things. I already miss everybody so much. Like, I woke up the first day and I was like, oh, where's Todd Ryan to come yell at me to get out of the gym and get in the breakfast line? So I've been making my sister come in my room every morning and I have her read a little Todd Ryan script. But yeah, I miss everybody so much. And just, you know, real life started right back up. So I haven't had lots of time to be sad yet, but you know, we're getting there.
I'm very similar to Shelby in that my real life, it started like immediately. I flew back with my parents. I came to see DCI finals, my age out year. And I flew back to Denver with them at their new home because they moved over the summer. And then I spent like a day and a half there. Then I actually flew to Kansas and met up with my best friend who I had marched with the previous summer and drove him out across 6 states to California to move in with me. So yeah, we did a 1600 mile drive in under 48 hours to make it for College Band auditions on Thursday night. So we had a grand old time with that and made it just in time, like 30 minutes before auditions started, back to California. So quite the adventure, but it was fun. And it was good to be with a fellow friend like of drum corps after the season ended, because like everyone else, like immediately I started missing everybody waking up the next morning.
I'll save Jared with a little bit of a different story. He's having a great reaction. I actually didn't get to come home to band. I finally graduated college, which was crazy. And I came home and it was like, no more school after doing school for so much of my life. So it's been nice to finally have a week to like collect myself again. I know in drum corps, we're always constantly on an hourly schedule where every minute is planned out, especially when it comes to finals week. And so when I got home, it was kind of like, I don't have a schedule. Like, I can do whatever I want. This is weird. So it was really fun to hop back in my car and just get whatever food I wanted and hang out with my friends without having any sort of time crunch or that kind of timely feeling I always have during drum corps, trying to get from place to place. So it's been really nice to relax. I am getting back into teaching band this week, which I'm really excited to be a part of. But other than that, it's just been really chill. I'll be studying again to get my certificate in UX design and then hopefully get a job after that. But life's been pretty chill. No, not much band camp for me.
Yeah, same here. I went on a little like heart-to-heart trip with my dad after finals, which was really cool. It's been something else being back home. Like, it feels like we're at the end of a historical event for me still. I haven't gotten over that yet. I remember when I was in the theater watching those people, I like remember the whole like journey to be here. And now it's like, I can look behind me and say, I did exactly what I wanted to do. And I still have more room to do it. So this is just like, no matter what happens, I know I'll still have my home.
For me, I flew back. And my band director and my family actually came to finals too. So, and we were all on the same flight back home, which is pretty sick. And so we were in the airport and him and I were talking about like, okay, what are we going to do for band camp tomorrow? Like we just went straight into band camp. And so I showed up the next morning and started teaching all the kids, and which is a new experience for me because I've helped tech, but I've never helped teach as much as I have. And as soon as I got back, I feel like they were so much more of like, hey, go teach them this, go teach them that, and a lot more responsibility, which is really cool and a new experience. So that's been fun. So we had a week full of band camp for that, and the weekend I was like, I had nothing to do, and it was like the first like I have nothing to do for a really long time, and I was like out of my mind. I'm like, I watched like the victory run and like some GoPro runs, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like I don't know what to do. So I went and drove around.
That is awesome. Yeah, some of you going back to school and then some of you restarting, I guess, a new journey, a new process for yourselves, not going to school and going straight into teaching. Yeah, when I got back, I landed, I said hello to my mom, and then I went to sleep. So I went to bed. It was like 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I didn't wake up until 11. I got some food, and then I went back to sleep, and then I went to work the next day. So it was, I kind of coming back into this life. You know, I'm a different person after all this journey than, like, coming back, it just felt weird. And I miss everybody. I was telling you guys before the call, like, you know, some people I now just tolerate. I didn't recognize, like, how much I tolerated until then. Because you guys, we built this family and this culture where we all just understand each other. And it just felt nice. So having to come back to where, you know, my new normal is not normal anymore, it was different for sure. To describe to younger audiences, so for people that I guess are interested in doing drum corps or interested in being a part of the Blue Devils or just want to know what it was like for us, I know we have various sections within this call. What was the process like leading up to finals week?
I feel like finals week is when everything finally clicks. Clicks is like my favorite word to talk about finals week, because after putting in so much work in the season, you get down to this point where all the finer details become what our problem is at hand. And it's crazy. It's something as small as, hey, you're like a centimeter off your dot, and that's why the form looks wrong. It's like we get down to the tiniest details, and it's really cool because our staff has a really great process when it comes to cleaning stuff like that in music and in drill, coming from the horn line. And it gets to this point where one day during finals week while we're rehearsing, it just feels like it clicks. You'll do a rep and you'll feel like, wow, I did, that was zero mistakes. I hit everything. And I feel that everyone around me has also hit it too. And so I think that's just the magical feeling of being a Blue Devils. My favorite week, of course, is finals week, because we get moments like that. Even, you know, all the performing stuff and then being at Lucas Oil, but rehearsals and full ensemble where everyone is just in the zone and on top of their stuff. That's like, got to be my favorite part of the season.
Now with you, Alvina, I understand that you and Shelby were both members that were here or a part of the Blue Devils since 2019. Talk about, you know, some parallels that you both have witnessed in both 2019 to now.
Yeah, I think excellence in the Blue Devils is carried through the members, of course, but our staff we've got to give props to them, because they are truly the reason why we can continue being excellent every year. We had a ton of rookies this year, and it could have gone any way. And especially if our staff and our amazing leadership didn't guide us in the direction that we needed to be, but we had that. We had great leadership. Our staff had full faith in us, and the constancy in the way they treat us and in the way they teach us really led us to success in 2022 as well. I don't think they really treated us any different than they did in 19. They knew that we knew our gig, and they let us just do our thing, gave us the right comments, put us in the right mindset, and we were really successful at the end. And it's definitely because the staff kept it consistent as well.
Yeah, piggybacking off of that, like, definitely the staff didn't treat this summer any different just because there were more like new people or rookies or however you want to put it. They just said, hey, you're here now. Doesn't matter if you've been here since you were four or if this is your, you know, rookout year. We're Blue Devils now. And just definitely that the staff keeping that same high expectation at the end, the new members really stepping up to the plate really just drove us right back to where we're used to being.
One of the things that I feel like was a big part of finals week is we're already performing our show, you know, and we're like getting excited for the last couple of times that we get to do it. But within that, I feel like the performance energy that we have just ramps up and ramps up and ramps up and then just goes for it. And that's the coolest part for me, because leading up until our like last finals run, I feel like every single time I'm like, it wasn't just a full run at rehearsal. I was like, dang, like anybody watching this, like the staff watching this, like it's a show. You know, and that was my favorite part, because like Alvina was saying, everything just clicks and you're just like, and you just kind of like smile to yourself and you're like, yeah, that was awesome.
Now with you, Daniel, you have a different experience. I believe that you and Hayden have marched previous other corps. What are some things that you noticed while being a part of the Blue Devils that maybe not have been the same in a previous drum corps?
Well, one of the big differences that I always felt is everything we do is a performance. Everything we do is a show. But I previously marched Boston Crusaders, and then an open class corps before that, and called the Colombians. One thing that I felt is different here than those two places is that whenever I get to a show, I'm like, okay, I gotta think about this dot and then this dot and where am I here? And it was always so mathematic, is the best word I can think about it. And so there are still those nitty gritty things, of course, you know, there's always those little things, but they don't seem as big because they're not so much of your mental like focus on like, I'm 3.25 steps, you know, it's like, hey, let me make this picture look good. I wasn't always as worried going to shows. Like, I was like, hey, this is going to be a good performance. And I feel like that's where the difference is.
I've been at four different corps. And I think one thing that made finals week unique to the Blue Devils for anywhere else that I've been is just the consistent drive to the end. The fact that, you know, we had, you know, a lot of shows in a row and tour after Texas and everything. We didn't have a big span of rehearsal days. Then we got to after Allentown and it was just rehearsal, 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 right? And every single day, it was just consistent push. Like other corps I've been at, finals week, it felt different. We did different things, you know, it was kind of a little bit of a different process, a different vibe in the air. And don't get me wrong, like finals week, we all felt it. There was like a little bit extra energy there, but that's natural. But like the staff being so consistent and smart and just wise upon their ears that they have, it's like they knew exactly how to approach every single day, every minute of every block for us to be successful and for us to keep driving to the end. Because I think that's something I noticed is just like I was talking to some fellow like drumline members a few days ago, just being like, man, our best run was finals night. We didn't peak early, you know, and that's something I've had with other corps. It's like, oh yeah, like Allentown, that was our best show. You know, it's like, that was not the case at all. Finals day rehearsal, like every single rehearsal run and show, it just kept getting better. And I think that's just like something really special is just knowing that like as a full corps too, we continue to push to the end. And finals week was no different than any other rehearsal week we had back in Laramie. You know, we knew what we did. We did stretch in the morning. We did vig. We did music ensemble. We did music. It was the exact same thing. And we all knew what to do. And I think that was the coolest part of being with it is just like, we're doing the same thing, but just better. And it was really cool to be a part of.
Actually, Hayden, you have a pretty unique story. Are you the first female quad player in the Blue Devils? Or, because I know there is, yeah, unfortunately, like a rare number of female quad players within drum corps or the marching arts in general, but are you the first in the Blue Devils?
Yeah, I was the first female quad player of the Blue Devils.
Yeah. Awesome. Now talk about that, just being, I guess, the first, and what is some awareness that you think that the activity could bring, and what is some advice to any female percussionist that might be interested in playing the quad?
Right. I guess the first word that comes to mind, it felt special. The Blue Devils is somewhere that I had wanted to be, you know, ever since I found out about drum corps. I was very fortunate enough to grow up with instructors that had marched the Blue Devils. And that's kind of how I got exposed to drum corps is through them in high school. Well, I was just like, oh, quads are cool. And, you know, I was like, all right, like, I guess I'll just play quads. And at the time, I didn't know it was uncommon for females to play quads. But I just started doing it. And like, as I got more years, I realized, wow, there's really no one that does this, right? There's a very small percentage of people that do. And like some advice to people wanting to or currently playing quads and wanting to get to like the highest level is just like, don't stop believing in yourself, because there's a lot of people that'll just kind of do little digs at you. Maybe not even say they don't believe in you, but just like little digs along the way of just that'll knock you down a little bit level by level. And it's just like, don't take any of that and just keep believing in yourself that you can, because like the reality of this, it's harder. Like being a female and playing quads, it's hard. That's why there's not a lot of people that do it. It's like drums are heavy. They're a lot on the body, but like you can do it. Look at the people who have done it, right? There's like me. There's a female at Blue Stars a few years ago. Like I was at Blue Stars, and there was someone back in like 2007 that did Boston Crusaders. There's a lineage of us that have done it. And, you know, just because it's not common, it doesn't mean that it's not possible. The community wants it so badly, and I can't wait to see more. people. Like, it's just my dream is to just be able to inspire and help others like reach that potential as well. But yeah, doing this summer and just seeing people come up to me in the lot or, you know, it's after shows, it just meant the world because I don't know, like no one had ever done it. And I had finally like accomplished what I had been working for all those years. And, you know, there was times that I thought it wasn't going to happen at all, especially with COVID. It took years from me and, you know, it was my age out. This is my last time to make it. And I'm just so fortunate. And it was a very, very special season for me.
Perfect. And we definitely reflect on that. And we're, you know, again, so proud for you, someone making history in a way to where now someone in high school or middle school will look at you and be like, oh my gosh, she looks like me. And it will be able to fulfill that need. I ain't trying to make anybody cry because I already feel the waterworks coming. Let me just change the question real quick. What are some takeaways that you have brought home from this season?
I think it might have been finals day. Pat was giving us all a speech and he told us to reflect upon the season and how we've improved as people, as musicians, as teachers, as students. And he told us that to remember this excellence and this standard that you hold yourself to and to keep it in every other thing you do. Upon getting home, I realized I can put this amount of love and passion into it, like all the other things I had doubts about too. Auditioning for a group like this is always a risk. Do it knowing that, okay, there's 100 other people who want the exact same spot I do. What makes me stand out? And I realized that I had the courage, just the gusto to go for it. And that I should keep doing that because it could be great.
I often think about the speech that Pat gave us after our finals run. And we went into that, you know, a little tiny hallway room and we did our little block and Corey called us to attention. You know, everybody does all the cry thing. I am thankful that nobody caught me ugly crying because it was bad. But we circled up and Pat said something along the lines of, you know, like, don't forget this feeling that you are a Blue Devil and this is what you live for. And I just think about the times that I had during COVID, nobody left their house. The marching arts and just like performance in general just stopped. And that's been my life every day since I was 8 years old. Like when I started dance class and then I started color guard and then, you know, I get to teach color guard now. And I, you know, I'm so fortunate to have this be such a big part of my life. And when COVID hit and everything stopped, basically my whole life stopped. And he said, you know, there's going to be days where you just don't want to get out of bed. And I definitely, that hit hard for me because there were days during COVID where it's like, what am I supposed to do? Like that, it had been my everything for so long. And when COVID hit, it wasn't anymore. And so I got the opportunity to find other things to, you know, fill the void of color guard. Like I got to spend a lot more time with my family now, and family's super important to me. So I was super grateful for that. And so just hearing Pat, you know, say that, you know, like when you feel as bad as I did during COVID, don't forget this feeling you have right now and how if you put, you know, drive and passion and just your everything into whatever it may be, whether that's school or your relationship or just, you know, anything, an activity, a talent, a skill, that you can accomplish anything. And that one really stuck with me. He got me with that one.
I think like tying both what Daniel and Shelby said, you know, with Pat and the speeches and stuff, I think like a takeaway that I had was just the people from like the Blue Devils. They were just different than anywhere else I had been. Like you could go up to anyone for like anything or just to talk. And like everyone has this unique story behind them. Everyone has this just genuine care behind their eyes. Like they just want to be there for you. I remember I was talking to a health and wellness member, like after the season ended, it was like 2 days after she it was like, how are you doing? You know? And I was like, I just miss everyone. I felt that like, this summer I was loved and accepted like more than I have been anywhere in my life. And I was just like, I just don't want, you know, to never experience that again. And she said something to me. She said, we're all still here. And I think that was like a huge thing of just being like, you're right. Like, once you're a Blue Devil, you're always a Blue Devil. You know, everyone is, we're just a big family. And I think that's like ultimately what I took from this summer is just like, I am now a part of this incredible like family that just never goes away. And that's just huge for me.
Okay, I'll also take a crack at this. I think, again, with the Pat Talks, Pat really nailed it this year. Pat and Dave, they went hard on every talk before every show and every big moment in our season. And I think every time they try to say tell us something or teach us a lesson, it really resonated with us. But for me, what really hit me hard was the talk where Pat kind of reminded us how much of an impact we have on other people's lives. I think Blue Devils is really special because we get this kind of platform to reach people much larger than ourselves. And even though they don't know who exactly I am or who Shelby is or who Jared is personally, but like we represent this organization that reaches so many people past us. And so like we inspire high school band kids to continue marching or to pursue their passions and dreams. And that's super cool. And Pat just told us like, kind of reminded us of the power that we have being who we are at the Blue Devils. And I think it's super important to take that with us back home as well. And even though we are back in our individual selves and not necessarily as the Blue Devils core traveling everywhere together, but we have the power to change people's lives. And I think that kind of like resonated with the moment where I was trying to figure out like, why am I here and what do I want to do? And I think it's always been this way, but Pat kind of reminded me that like we are here or we have our moments and we have the ability to change people's lives for the better. And that's what we should be striving to do every day since we have the power to. I just thought that was really cool. Really resonated with me.
What are some fun memories that you can like reflect and some things that you can automatically think about that you're going to bring to either your college band friends or some of your coworkers? What are some good highlights that you can bring throughout the season leading up to the end?
I'll go first. My most favorite thing that we did all summer, Jared was with me with this one, we do underwater puppies on the guard bus. It's called the O4, for those of you who don't know. And so we have this book that we bought on Amazon, and it's literally, it's just called Underwater Dogs, and it's pictures of dogs underwater. And that was always the highlight of my week. Once a week, we would do underwater puppies on the bus, and John, our guard captain, would get on the mic, and he would run it. And everybody would just get up and they would tell, you know, either a happy memory from the week, those were underwater puppies, or if they had something that was like rough that happened to them that week, those would be called drowning puppies. But we would write them all down in this book. And sometimes underwater puppies would go for like an hour. It would be like half the bus ride. And we would still be talking about, you know, things that TJ said in block, or, you know, something that happened in the gym, or something that Todd Ryan said in the food line one morning. And that was my favorite, because, you know, everybody goes through their summer and they have, you know, fun memories that happen to them, or like little inside jokes they have with their friends. But I see us being able to share those with each other really just brought the color guard so much closer together this summer. So underwater puppy is my favorite. Also, Frosty the Snowman will definitely always live in my memory.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I feel like there were just a lot of like inside jokes that I'm just going to hold with me forever, where like the next time I run into a Blue Devil, I'm just going to go FOA and they're going to understand. Like they'll get it. Like there's so many moments this season where I think this core, especially since we started off creating our own culture, like that I could probably walk by any Blue Devil that comes along and make say something dumb and they'll get it. So I carry that with me forever. But something I'll take like past the Blue Devil family is I think just like the way our Vish staff in particular treated us and taught us. I really just like how we could still have fun and learn a lot at the same time, and kind of inspires me in the way I want to treat my students as I get back into band camps and start teaching them rehearsals and stuff. I just like that we can still get so much done and be on top of our stuff, but also like have fun at the same time. Like I'll definitely be taking that with me.
I remember we were in a Vish block in Laramie, and it got really cold in Laramie at night. It would get really windy and really cold. So one of the memories that I was just thinking of in my head right now was you guys had changed the ballot a lot. And like in the percussion section, we kind of just went to the side and kneeled down, and like that was our ballad. So the ensemble was like a ballad focused night. And so we were all just sitting there, and it was one of the worst cold nights we had. And so the battery, we kind of just made a dog pile, and we all started laying on each other just in the middle of ensemble for warmth. We all are cuddling together like penguins, because a lot of us didn't have pants on. We didn't expect it to be that cold. So that's just a memory I hold dear to myself, because that was like a night that we all just kind of bonded like close together, like literally and figuratively, for warmth. And just the rest of the corps was rehearsing about, and we're over here like penguins just cuddled together on the 20-yard line. I think that's just like a funny memory that I don't know, just like the little things like that that I remember.
For me, this wasn't like the funniest moment. I think it was just like such a Blue Devil moment. When we were warming up for the Murfreesboro show and we were like having rain delays, and we're like, oh man, it's like raining, and then like go back in the dorm and like wait, and then we come back out, and then we still have some time to stall, and so Eric Prince starts like walking us through like a face massage and the brass, and we had like a 30 or like 45 minute like literally like face massage, like everything, just like relaxing it and just like pushing out all the muscles. And I just remember like after we were done with that, I was like, okay, I'm ready to go take a nap now. Like, but we played, and I felt like that was the best. Oh, we just played so good that night. It was awesome. And I don't feel like you'll get that anywhere else. Like, how often are you going to get a brass staff to be like, hey guys, okay, for our show warm up, we're going to do a face massage. Like, it's just iconic.
For me personally, my time on the O4 was probably the best time that I've ever had in band, period. Fun, most fun bus in my personal opinion. Please don't come after me for that. I guess, you know, a positive outlook for me is being able to, I guess, not control stretch block, but y'all saw me every day. Y'all knew that every morning that Jared was going to have his two speakers and do that. And it was just nice to like see people like bopping their heads to the music choices and stuff. That was like the most fulfilling feeling. Because as a drum major, it's kind of like being a parent. You never know if you're doing a good job or not. It's one of those jobs where you have to be okay with not being recognized all the time. So seeing you guys like, oh man, Jared's playing Jill Scott, yeah, what? Or Trey Songz or something. You guys vibing with me, I'm vibing with y'all. It made me feel amazing. And then of course, when we had our pre-tour party hosted by yours truly, that was fun. I think every corps needs to do a pre-tour party, but patented by me. LOL. But, and then I think I'll never forget this one time. I don't know how other corps does it, but we have our rehearsal assistant, Tyler Otan, who was by far amazing at the metronome and controlling, and was definitely a drum major, part of the drum major team. And, you know, didn't have COVID, but he was sick and he had to be gone for 2 days. So somebody had a control of that metronome. And that person was me. I can proudly say that nobody could do their job better than Tyler Otan at that moment. I tried and I didn't do so well. So even I made mistakes. And I know that sometimes people are like, oh, Blue Devil, he's a Blue Devil. They don't make mistakes. I think we can all agree that we made mistakes all the time, every day. So, and that moment really featured that time, because I have not touched a Megabox or a Dr. B ever since that day. Don't plan on it. I was definitely a laughing stock during that time. This question is targeted for people that are thinking about joining the Blue Devils next season. What does a Blue Devil mean to you? Or what is some advice that you may have for an interest?
What a Blue Devil means to me is three things: confidence, excellence, and being genuine. I think those three things are like very clear traits of like being a Blue Devil. And I think if you want to audition, first off, do it. A lot of people say they want to audition, talk about it. A lot of talk, not a lot of do. Do more. Go audition. Even if you don't think you're ready, you don't think you can make it, not your year, who cares? Go out, get to know the staff, let them see your face, learn from the incredible staff that we've been talking about this entire interview. Literally, it's the best staff in the world, in the world. So just take that opportunity. If you don't think you're ready, well, take it as a clinic. Go learn, you know, and do your best. Confidence and excellence is what makes the Blue Devils. When we step out on the field, what everyone sees, that's the confidence. That's the excellence that we bring to everything we do, to the moment we wake up, to the moment we go to bed. You know, everything we do is excellent. Like, they would joke about, how are you going to put your milk in your cereal in the morning? Are you going to do it how you would do what you do on the field? Or are you just going to lackadaisically do it? And then I would say, just be genuine to yourself. Don't show up to auditions trying to be a Blue Devil, trying to be, you know, who you think you have to be for it. Just be yourself. Be authentic. That's the word I was looking for, is just be authentically you. Because at the end of the day, like we've all been talking about, it's like the people are what make the Blue Devils. And so they're looking for good people. They're looking for people that are unique and something special about them, rather than just someone who's trying to fit a mold of something. So go to the audition and be yourself. That would be my number one just advice.
But two things. The admin team, Pat and his home dogs, always talk about how, you know, all of drum corps is the same 90% across the board. And then there's that 10%. And I feel like that 10% that's left over, they always talk about it, is definitely where the Blue Devils are different. So even if, like, if you've marched drum corps before, even if you haven't marched drum corps before, coming to the Blue Devils, be open to trying new things, new techniques, new, you know, ways of doing things, because each organization is going to have their own way of doing things. So if you come in with an open mindset and you're, like Hayden said, not trying to fit what you think the Blue Devil mold is, then it's going to help you grow. It's going to help the staff grow, and you can just really feed off of each other. So yeah, just be open to trying the Blue Devil style, whatever it may be for that summer. Cause even the 2019 Blue Devil style was very different than the 2022 Blue Devil style. Alvina can definitely, she can feed off of that one. The other thing that I would have to say, Scott says this a lot, desire overcomes doubt. So if you want something, then your drive to get it is going to succumb any doubt that you may have. So if you want to be a Blue Devil, even if you don't want to be a Blue Devil, you want to march somewhere else, whatever, that's fine. Your desire to get there is what's going to drive you to be there. Not saying, oh, I'm too young, or I'm not good enough, or none of us were good enough at one point, but all of the people here in this interview had the desire, had the drive, had the passion to put ourselves out there, and look where we ended up now. So just put yourself out there. Don't be afraid to try it. And the worst that could happen is they say, come back next year.
Yeah, perfect segue. Because I think my greatest advice to anyone looking to audition is just to audition. I think I auditioned two or three times before I even made it at the Blue Devils, and I definitely didn't feel, you know, you'll be a bit defeated. You work really hard for something. If you don't make it, it's always going to be sad, but every single time I was there, I learned so much, and every single time I was there, it helped me for the next time that I was there. And I started auditioning when I was super young. And so if you're out there and you feel like, you know, I'm in high school, I'm too scared, I can't do this, my advice is to you is just to go audition. You never know what might happen. And if you show yourself in front of the staff and you prove that you know what you're doing and you're very inspired and passionate, they will remember that. And so every audition to come after will be beneficial for you. So just go show face, have a good time, learn a lot, and just see what it's like to be a Blue Devil for a weekend, because it's truly something special. But what it means to be a Blue Devil is ties into all this audition stuff, because you can be great at your instrument, you can be great at marching and dancing and drums and all that stuff, but I think what it really means to be a Blue Devil is truly just to be a good person. Like Hayden was saying, we care a lot about character. We don't, even if you're the best mellophone player in the world and you're not, if you're not a good person, you won't be at the Blue Devils, because we only have good people here. And that's why our family, and that's why our dynamic and everything works out so well. So just be a good person, show up to auditions, try your very best, work hard coming into it, because this is definitely not easy, but if you set your mind to it and put your passion and your best foot forward, you can do it, and you will be here one day. I think all of us were the same little kids that were watching the Blue Devils back when we were younger and had really big dreams of being here. So we know what it's like to be where you are. And so that just means you definitely can make it here one day.
One of the things that I I was thinking about too is we talk so much about family at the Blue Devils, and how it's like, hey, remember, treat all of the people here, I mean, because they are your family. One thing that I think I'll always remember about this summer is that when you go to a lot of other drum corps, they're like, hey, you in that blue hat on the 45, you know, they're like, or hey you in the yellow shirt, like way back there, or like, hey, mellophone player, you. But that's not how it works at the Blue Devils. It's like, hey, Sante, or depending on who's on the box, they always talk about your name and they address you for who you are. And that relates to everything else they do at the Blue Devils, because they treat you like people, and they're not treating you like someone at their core. They're treating you like family. And that is something that they do just throughout everything. That 10% that they talk about, it may be 10%, but it feels so much more like 50%, so much more like even more than that, just because it makes so big of a difference. And when you're considering like, hey, I think I want to be a Blue Devil, like, remember that you're not just there to be part of a core, but you're there to be part of a family, you know? And so you're auditioning to kind of be part of that family. And so, like Avina was saying, and everyone else too, you have to be that good person. When you really show like, hey, like, I'm a cool cat, you know, and you're honest about that, and you're authentic about that, like Hayden was saying, people in the staff are going to realize like, dang, okay, this person has potential. And when they give you something to like work on, like, hey, you should like work on this, or here's something you could do to be better, they're not saying it out of like spite or like, oh, I don't like this person. They're genuinely wanting you to like work on that to get better, because they know that it'll help you as a performer and as a person.
It was amazing to see a tiny little seed grow. And just like how everybody has been saying, nothing changed. There was no peak performance mid-season. We drove all the way to the end. And being able to see that, and it, you know, it's rewarding to win this gig, appreciative for the craft that we made. The Troopers had a phenomenal show. And I believe like Phantom Regiment, ain't nobody can flip their hair out of their shako other than that head drum major right there. So I'm just saying, just appreciating other cores for how hard they work is something that we always do. And they were always like, you know what, when we see another core, you say hello to them, you clap for them, all that other stuff. So for anybody interested, if you're willing to, I guess, be able to take criticism from an honest standpoint, because people do care about you, but also be able to stay in this humbling line, appreciating that everybody within this craft is here to just perform and has a passion for performing, that is what makes a top-tier Blue Devil, in my opinion. That concludes today's Marching Arts Education interview. Again, my name is Jared Garrett, and you are amongst nothing but Blue Devils family here. We hope to see some of you either in the audition room, or if you would like to comment and subscribe, you can find us here on marchingartseducation.com. Listen to our podcast at Marching Roundtable, or subscribe to our YouTube channel, again, at Marching Arts Education. It has been so fun reconnecting with my family. I miss talking to y'all in the food line, but I appreciate y'all, and thank you so much. And stay tuned for more episodes here with Marching Arts Education.
Watch for all of the conversations in this series of podcasts wrapping up the 2022 DCI season. Find all interviews and podcasts about DCI in the 50th anniversary at marchingartseducation.com. Just click on DCI in the main menu to find hours of great content. You can always find out about upcoming podcasts and webinars by signing up for our newsletter, and see clips from recent podcasts and webinars on the Marching Roundtable YouTube channel. Thanks again to the sponsor of this podcast, LCL Mentors, found at lclmentors.com. This is your host, Tim Hinton, the Beast of the Marching Arts. Contact me and learn more about my services at beastofthemarchingarts.com.
Hi, I'm Dennis DeLucia. Recently, I had the opportunity to shoot a webinar with my dear friends Steve Rondinero, Tom Blair, Lindsay Vento. And it was for Marching Arts Education, an operation started and run by the great Tim Hinton. And It would be terrific if you all joined, became members of MarchingArtsEducation.com so that they can continue the great work that they have begun to do in behalf of all the marching arts. So please join, check out their website, MarchingArtsEducation.com.
If you're a business that works with band directors, marching bands, color guards, or drum lines, you should sponsor podcasts at the Marching Roundtable. Our listeners are the exact audience you're trying to reach. And with thousands of podcast downloads each month, it's a great way to directly reach your target audience. For more information, click on the sponsorship opportunities link at marchingroundtable.com or email Tim at tim@marchingroundtable.com. You can grow your business and help support what we're doing here on the podcast.